here with Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. And Bob, you know, thinking back, coming here for the fourth time now with an opportunity to win the Triple Crown is in itself somewhat surreal, but nobody ever forgets the first one. And take me back to Silver Charm and what it was like winning the Derby and Preakness and then coming here and standing on the brink of history.
Well, that was something that we really, I was never prepared for and had no idea how to go into it. And I remember after I won the Preakness, I called Steve Haskett up, a good friend, and I said, Steve, is there a way you could look up, and, you know, I don't know how to do it, but find out how they work the work pattern for a firm, Seattle SLU, and Secretariat. So he looked it up, and he sent me the work patterns, and I thought, man, if I do that, I'm not going to have a horse left. I mean, they came back. I remember Secretariat, like a week later, he worked like 5/8 or 3/4. Then he came back 5 or 6 days later, worked a mile and 1:34 and change, and then came back and worked 58 or blew out in 46. It was just an incredible, I mean, what a horse to do something like that. So it just goes to show you that, you know, those horses that have won the Triple Crown, how good and how tough they are. And Seattle SLU, he had like three, you know, really strong works like that. And it's just something that it was like if I couldn't have done it with my horses. So I knew going in I was going to have to change it up a little bit, and I didn't know if it was going to work or not. But I was dealing with, you know, when I look back now, the difference was, is that Silver Charm was running against some really good horses. It was, every race was a battle. You know, he had Free House. Then he had to fend off Captain Bodgett, who was a really good horse. Then coming back 2 weeks later, Touch Gold joined the fray. And Touch Gold, easily, he could have won that race. He stumbled badly, had trouble. And so, you know, going in there, I thought, well, maybe we got lucky there. And then coming to the Belmont, we had Free House again. And McCarron rode probably one of the best Belmont races ever. When Kent DeSormo took off with Free House, made a little early run early, and Gary moved with him, and Chris didn't go. So Gary Steven thought, you know, we thought Touch Gold was the horse to beat. He thought maybe Touch Gold was just didn't have it, but he didn't know that McCarron was just sitting on him waiting. And then he made that swoop around there and turned for home. I thought I was going to win. You know, it looked like he was going to. I knew he could out-battle Free House, but then here came McCarron on the outside, and it was. I just saw it unfolding the last 100 yards like, well, it's not going to happen. It's sort of like, you know, all this way and you're exhausted and then, you know you're going to get beat the last 100 yards. And it was just, it was tough. You know, with me, I was like, you know, you got the cameras in your faces and they hit the wire. And Bob Lewis, he turned to me and said, "That's a shame, Robert." And that was it, you know, and he was such a great guy. And so it was, but it was a lot of fun leading up to that.
And then could you ever imagine you'd be back in that same position 1 year later with Real Quiet?
Yeah, I mean, then I come back with Mike Pegram because he was with me the whole time with Silver Charm. He rode with me on the plane. We were sitting on the, you know, coming with the plane, the only horse in there with Silver Charm. And then he goes through it the same way. And we're sitting on that same ice chest on Tech Sutton plane, you know, coming over with Real Quiet with a police escort. It was just a lot of fun. And he had all his people here, and, you know, and I thought he'd run well, and he was, you know, we knew Victory Gallop was the horse to beat, and they turned for home, and he's, you know, Kent takes off, and he's got like a five length, he's in front by five lengths, and I'm thinking he's coming down, and I keep looking for Victory Gallop, and he was making a run, but I thought, you know, we have a pretty good jump on him, and I thought, wow, for an instant, I thought, man, I'm going to win the Triple Crown. It was like a different feeling, you know. And so it wasn't really, I think the only time I wasn't really cheering, I was just like watching it happen. Like I couldn't believe it, for, you know. And then all of a sudden I see here comes Victory Gallop, and he's coming to us, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And then when they hit the wire, it was like, I know it was a head bob, and my, at the angle where I was sitting, it looked like he had won, but it was like, I thought, I think I won, but I'm not sure. But I kept thinking there was a lot of butts going on. But it was a different feeling. It wasn't like, you know, you're sort of glad it's over because you're exhausted. You're just really exhausted because I was doing every radio show, my voice is gone. I was just exhausted. And so it was really, you know, the photo, then there was an inquiry, and then you're looking around at strangers, like, I'm asking them, what do you think? You know, I'm asking everybody, oh, you got it, Bob. And some guy says, oh, I don't know. And I remember Wayne Lucas was sitting in front of me, and I said, Wayne, what do you think? And he says, you got it. And he walked off. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Wayne, he knows, you know. And Mike Pegram, he never made it to his box because of the crowd. And so he was stuck behind there. And I remember he was behind Denny Phipps's box. And Denny was the only one at the time that had a TV monitor in his box. Yeah. And so he looked, and Mike asked him, and he just turned around and says, oh, you got it. And like, but then all of a sudden when the number came up, it was like, oh, you know, how can you go a mile and a half and get beat a nose? I mean, that just, to me, that's why I say it's all fate. And so, but it was an exciting run. And, you know, I felt good about my, you know, Silver Charm and Real Quiet, that I felt pretty good that, you know, they ran their races. They just got beat. And so it really made me feel, you know, we did it. We just couldn't get it done.
You've always been very confident in your abilities, but that result had to be a little bit deflating for you, was it?
I think it's disappointing in a way where, you know, you've came all this way and you're just been riding a high since the Derby. I mean, when the Derby's probably, it's the highest of the highs. And so, and then when I came back with Point Given, you know, that's the horse I really thought was going to be my Triple Crown horse. And then when he didn't get it done in the Derby, that was really disappointing. I was shocked that he didn't win that race. And then he came back, won the Preakness, and then he came with the Belmont. I knew he was just so much the best. And so, and when he won that day, it was like, wow. I was really, you know, I'd rather win the Derby than the Preakness and the Belmont. There's just something about it. I would have traded, you know. So it makes you really feel about, you know, the importance. I mean, the Derby is really the most important one.
And War Emblem, he was more like a claim for you. You didn't have a whole lot of time to work with him and develop him. It was a bit of a different scenario.
I didn't, but it was still a lot of fun to have him and, you know, to buy him and to prep him for that race and win the Derby with him. And then the Preakness, we weren't really sure, you know, his speed. He had to have everything his own way. And there was a speed horse, took him on. And he was really, in the Preakness, he was at the end there, he was getting a little tired. And he was a light horse. I mean, when I bought him, I weighed him, 970 pounds. That's light.
Really?
I mean, you know, you've got a horse like Point Given, he always weighed 1280. You know, Dortmund, you know, 1280, 1290. Pharaoh. His weight was 1178, and so he goes in there 970. I got him up to about 1040, you know, for the Derby. 1040 around there. And then after the Preakness, he started shriveling up on me. You know, I could tell he just couldn't handle. He looked better with a saddle on him. I remember when I went to buy him, when they brought him out, he really, like, put the saddle on him. We put the saddle. Okay, I'll take him, you know. But so, and I remember the veterinarian, when I called him up, I said, hey, go check out this horse. I'm flying tomorrow. I'm going to buy this horse. And he called me up. He said, well, Bob, I checked him out. And, you know, he looks pretty clean legged. And, I don't think you're going to like this horse. He says, he's a little light in the back. And he says, it doesn't matter. Hey, I didn't ask you for a confirmation clinic, dude. This horse just ran off the screen. I just want to know how his legs are. And he said, well, no, his legs are, that's all I need to know, you know. So we go over there, we look at him, we fly over there to get him. It was Richard Mohol who was the, he just passed away a couple of days ago, poor guy. And, we flew over and he looked at him. And I said, yeah, he does look a little, you know. And then once they put the saddle on him, he looked a lot better. So we bought him. And so I sent him down to to Louisville, I had to fly back to California because I had officer there. And so I sent him down to my assistant, John Good, at the time. He was in charge of the Churchill Downs. So I said, call me when he gets there. So he calls me up. He says, and his Irish kid, he goes, hey, Bob, yeah, that horse arrived. Have you seen him? I go, yeah. He says, he's not much to look at. I said, hey, I don't want to hear that. I go, don't worry, just start feeding him, will you? Just start feeding him. He says, he's a... And so, but he was tough. He was really tough. He was sort of a rogue, you know, and he was just a nasty attitude, but he could really run, and as long as he got his own way, he was really tough.
Yeah, I can remember you saying a couple of times that after he stumbled at the start in the Belmont that you just had to sit there and endure that mile and a half. That couldn't have been easy.
Well, you know what? I was actually, I had a feeling he wasn't going to. That's the most nervous I think I've ever been for a race the night before, because they were making a big deal out of it, and down deep, I thought, you know what? I don't like the way he's coming into this race. He's just not, he's getting a little, like he was just, he looked great when he galloped here, but I just knew they were going to take him on. He was going to get his trip, and the speed horses were lining up against him, and so I knew it was going to be tough on him.
So what's different this time around?
I think I've got a really good horse. I think he's shown that, you know, he's got that, he's a cut above, you know, right now I feel like he's the best horse of the bunch. But he still has to get around there, the mile and a half. He's going to have to get, you know, the pace is going to be important for him. And we all know that, you know, he's not going to be from coming off the pace or anything like that. He's just a free-running horse. So so I think, you know, the first half of the race could be very important. So, but I think he's special. I just love the way, I've never had a horse that moves like he does. And from day one, I've always thought he was something really special, and he's got a pretty good mind, and he's just when you watch him run, he looks like he's really enjoying it. That's what I love about him, because he's got that long stride and he throws those ears forward, and he just, you know, he just looks like he's having fun. And most of those horses, they get in there, they're battling other horses, and he's not. He just looks like he's, and I think he knows that when he's in that groove, he knows he's better than them, you know. And he's fast. He can get to a spot. It's like he's got gears where he can accelerate without using a lot of energy. He can get to a spot without using, and that's what I like about him.
Tell me what's different about Bob Baffert this time around than in the previous three.
Well, I think those previous, when I came up here, I was like, I was a little high on myself, but I really enjoyed it. I was sort of a ham, you know. I like to ham it up. I couldn't wait to get interviewed. I couldn't wait to see myself, you know. I thought, you know, every time I'd read a newspaper, I'd check out, read about myself, like, hey, I'm getting, everybody thought, and you know what, you start doing that, and you start thinking, I'm a pretty smart guy, you know. I'm like, I'm going to bring, I want to solve the world's problems, you know. Like, this is what they need to do. I'll tell you what the president needs to do. He needs to be, you know. Pretty soon you're like, and you know what, and I can see, like, when you see these actors and stuff, they start, you know, they want to solve the world's problems, and that's what it is. You get in this groove where when you see yourself in print, you start thinking, you know what, they're listening to me. But, you know, we can be sitting in a bar or a restaurant and say, yeah, you know, they need to do this in Iraq or whatever. We'll just, you know. But then when they write it, it's like, hey, we really know what I think. So I really, it was a different, and I was younger, and I was really, you know, I was just going with the flow, and so I was just having fun with it.
Enough's enough already. Go win the Triple Crown, will you?
Well, I think we have the horse to do it. He looks really well. He's come back and worked well. It's just, but at the back of my mind, I just sort of, I know how difficult it is. I know it's, and I've seen good horses come in here, you know, like, this race is like, I was listening to one of the old Laker coach, Pat Riley. And they used his quote the other day, and the Belmont is like, you know, in the championship games, there's winning and misery. That's it. So, you know, I know that. So that's what I'm hoping. We maybe pull it off. And I feel a lot of pressure when I get here for the fans. They've been coming here, And so, I mean, everybody's going to be rooting for the horse. So, but so far, you know, as long as we have a few more good days, we'll be in good shape.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.